This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer. لا إله إلا هو. None has the right to be worshipped except Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to forgive us all our sins that we've done this past week and the sins that we would do in the week to come. For Allah is most merciful, most kind. And we send our love, our greetings, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to his pure and perfect family, to his companions, and to his ummah, every Muslimin, those that have come, those that are here, and those that will come until the end of time. We send our greetings and salutations to them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to forgive us and to let us be part of that ummah. Ameen. Before I start discussing the diseases of the heart, I have a disease of the throat, so please bear with me if I'm just recovering from a bit of a sinus issue. Alhamdulillah, I think many people are struggling with the change of season, the change of weather. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all shifa, and all those who are going through extreme difficulties, may Allah make it easy for them. We know the catastrophic incidences that are happening in Syria, where a hospital was bombed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant mercy on those going through difficulty, and may Allah take retribution on those who are guilty of this crime. Ameen. We continue with our diseases of the heart, and we discussed a number of diseases that we said all of us, we suffer to some degree or another. And it's for us to look at these diseases, these issues, and say, is my heart safe and sound? Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only the one who comes with a qalb salim, a pure and clean heart on the day of Qiyamah, that is the only one who will be saved and successful. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He takes us away from this dunya, our heart is in a good state with Allah. That everything that we do of evil, it harms our heart. As the hadith says, a black dot appears on our heart. And the more we do of evil, the more that blackness, that corruption covers our heart. And if our entire heart is spoiled, then all of us is spoiled. And similarly, our heart improves and it benefits and it grows with the goodness that we do. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever diseases we have, the cure is only with Allah. There's no tablet that we can take to fix a sick heart. The only cure is Iman, and Iman is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, the disease that we've discussed so many diseases: envy, pride, ignorance, ungratefulness, apathy. Today we discuss a disease that affects some people more than others, the disease of anger. And we know that anger, as a Muslim and as a non-Muslim, we know the dangers and the evils that anger can cause. How many people are harmed through anger? How many things are said and done out of anger and you wish you could take it back? And if we look at where we live and the lifestyle that we live in, we're living in a time where emotional diseases or emotional problems are on a rise. Why? Because we live in such a pressurized environment. Each and every one of us, we are pushed daily, financial pressures, job pressures. We are constantly on the edge all the time. We live in our environment, there's fear, there's paranoia. We have stress with regards to our kids, our family. All of us, we go through these things all the time. The dunya has become as a rat race. The dunya has become such a huge concern on our minds and our heads that many of us, we suffer with stress. And all of us can relate to these things. We can all relate to this. And interestingly, the last one, if you struggle to sleep, that today we know depression and all mental kind of illnesses, paranoia, being aggressive, being emotionally unstable, a lot of it is linked with the inability to sleep. And if you're a person that struggles to sleep or you don't get enough sleep, a lot of these kind of problems you'd find affects you. You'd suffer from depression. You'd suffer from anxiety. You'd not be able to handle stress correctly. You can't avoid stress. We live in a time where stress is something which you can't really avoid. It's how you deal with it and cope with it. And we live in a very stressful environment and a very stressful time. And therefore, it's easy for us to flip. It's easy for that pressure to build and it gets released in a bad way. So this is something where you don't need a psychiatrist, as I say. People come to the imam first. Why? Because we're cheaper than psychiatrists. We're cheaper than psychologists. So they first go to the imam. If he can't fix you, can you mantra me out? Okay, that doesn't work. Okay, now we'll go to the psychiatrist. So, alhamdulillah, some free emotional counseling here as well. And you diagnose yourself. And we all become angry. And in fact, as we'll speak on, anger in itself is not an evil quality. There are some things, if you don't get angry for those things, like we said last week, if you don't get angry for the sake of Allah, you don't get angry for the sake of the deen, then that's also a problem. If you don't get angry when you see children are being killed, and doesn't affect you, then that's a heart that is dead, it's become numb. So we should feel anger. But how do we feel anger and how do we express it? And when is anger a bad thing? So some of the symptoms that, not I say, psychologists say, if you have these symptoms or you fall into one of these categories, you might have an anger issue. For example, to be angry but then to become physically abusive. So someone in the office says something, does something, and instead of being able to have a discussion, you want to talk with your fists. Right? Someone cuts you, does something wrong, he cuts in cuts you off on the road, he does something, he drives not correctly, he annoys you, and immediately you want to get out of the car and punch him to pieces. Or when you're angry, and this is one of the characteristics of the munafiq, when he becomes angry and he argues, he becomes abusive and offensive and he uses obscene language. And this person who did the mistake, his mother and his father and everyone else is also a target. This is an example of your anger getting the better of you, or emotionally abusive, belittling others. When you cannot argue a certain issue, or you're upset about a certain thing, but you make it personal and you attack the person directly. And subhanAllah, some people, and I've met someone, where he says, when I become so angry, I actually like lose consciousness. I don't know what I did, I become like blind rage. So if you are losing consciousness because of your anger, you have a problem. You need to find a way to fix it. If you become so angry and so red that you're completely out of control, that you do things that you can't imagine, how did I do that? You go into your mind switches off, then that's a problem. And I know from personal experience counseling, where the brother is in tears, how could I have done this? How could I have said that? But he says, when I'm in that mode, in that rage, I don't think anymore. I'm gone. It's like someone else takes over. You don't need to be mantraed, you need to have some psychological problems. We have all have problems, and it's a disease. We shouldn't be also afraid to acknowledge these diseases. Sometimes, and especially I find today, people will say if you have depression, you have anxiety, your iman isn't strong enough. No, they are. The brain is also an organ, and the brain also gets sick. And this is one of the areas where you can kill yourself. If you find yourself excessively impatient, that you can't wait, someone delays you. And that person is wrong. I'll get you here in 5 minutes. He's still on. But you boil. You can't stand in the queue. The person in front at the desk is taking her sweet time or his sweet time. And you are boiling to the point where you lash out. Maybe there's a problem there. You can't compromise. If you don't get your way, you become upset. You're never going to get your way all the time. Part of being an adult and part of having iman and taqwa is to realize that we, at the end of the day, we get things our way and sometimes we don't. And we say alhamdulillah for the things we get and alhamdulillah things we don't get. But we don't have to become angry when we don't get our way. Without, of course, not defending our rights. I said the other side of it is to be a pushover, which is also not good. And not able to let things go. When people transgress against you and they were in the wrong, not being able to let go and to say, all right, it's fine, I will let it go. To continue to harbor that anger, that resentment. It's like a poison inside you. It doesn't harm that person, it harms you. And we'll talk about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak about how you deal with anger. And how does the muttaqeen, the muhsineen, how they deal with anger. When your kids are scared of you, subhanAllah, when they live in fear of you, your wife and your kids, your employees, they live in fear. People around you, they're scared because this is the guy that loses his top. There's a problem. When the only way you can get respect is through fear, that's not a good way of conducting yourself. And ultimately acting in a way, saying things where afterwards, and you yourself can diagnose this. How many times have I been in a situation and afterwards I say, subhanAllah, I shouldn't have done that. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't act that way. I wish I didn't say. Because as they say, the ulama, they mention that words can't be taken back. When you say something, sometimes words are more hurtful than physical abuse. Verbal abuse is sometimes worse. And when you say something to someone, you belittle him. Your wife, your kids, your parents, you say things to them so hurtful, they'll never forget that. They can forgive you, but they'll never forget. And how many of us may be in that category? And even in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for silly things, people became angry and they ruined their life. Look at this hadith. Sahabi comes and he mentions, I was sitting with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when a man came to him, a man comes leading another man in a rope. So another man is being tied up and this man is leading him. And he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this man has killed my brother. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, did you kill this man's brother? And he said, yes, I killed him. And the Nabi asked him, like, how did you kill him? What happened? And he said, he and I, we were hitting a tree to make the leaves fall. So we were working together to cut the tree down for animal feed. And he slandered me. He said something bad. I didn't like it. So I struck him on the side of the head with an axe and killed him. Over what? He said one or two words. This time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these two men could possibly have been Sahaba. Right? And since we said Sahaba are humans, some of them committed sin. And we ask Allah to forgive whoever He forgives. But simple, one word someone said, and you killed him. You deprived his kids of a father. You took away this woman's husband. You took away someone's child. Why? Because they said some small word to you. You know how fat you are. And subhanAllah, you lost your top. And there are some people, and majority of you might feel, alhamdulillah, and if that's the case, I don't suffer from that. Well, alhamdulillah, it's something good. Allah has not tested you with that. But for some of us, we have that rage in us. And if you are in that category, then you need to think and say, subhanAllah, how do I fix it? All of us are born with certain weaknesses. It could be money, it could be fame, it could be anger, it could be the dunya, whatever it might be. None of us are born perfect. But the heart is something which goes up. Iman goes up and down. This is the belief, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, our aqidah, our belief. Your belief is that Iman fluctuates. Yazid wa yanqus bitta'a wal ma'siyah. It increases with obedience to Allah, and your iman decreases with disobedience to Allah. Every heart, as Allah says in Surah Al-Shams, Surah Al-Duha, Surah Al-Shams, Afwan, that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ نَفْسَهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. That every heart has the potential to be the wali and the, have evil in them. Every heart, as Allah says, the sun and the moon, the night and the day, Allah gives opposites. And Allah says, every heart has this ability to be the best or the worst. So it is for you who succeeds, who purifies his heart, and you have failed if you let your heart become corrupted. It's in your hands and the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man comes to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he expects the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wants to get some advice. I want to be the best, Ya Rasulullah. Tell me what I need to do so I can do it and I can be, you know, like a pious person. So he said, advise me, Ya Rasulullah. And the Nabi says, La taghdab, don't become angry. He expected jihad, he expected fast for the entire year, or make salah, or make something big. The Nabi just told him, don't become angry. So he said, okay, what else do you advise me, Ya Rasulullah? And Nabi said, don't become angry. And he said a third time, and what else, Ya Rasulullah? And Nabi said a third time, don't become angry. Why? So this Sahabi, perhaps he had an anger issue. And the Nabi was telling him, focus on your anger. Don't worry about making extra zakah, extra fasting, extra salah. You focus on the issue of your anger. If you get that right, alhamdulillah, other things will come right. And this man, he reflects and he says, I thought about, so he wasn't really convinced about what the Nabi said. You know, it's kind of anticlimactic. But he said, I began to think about what the Nabi said, and I realized that anger is the doorway to all kinds of evil. You can even kill someone through anger. All the evil things you say with your mouth can cause anger. Something more realistic or something that affects all of us. We all become angry. If you're a husband, if you're a wife, husband and wives, we have issues. And even Nabi SAW, with his wives, there was sometimes friction. What if you talaq, now you know the husband, if he says, anti talik, or you are divorced, or I divorce you, anything of this nature, it falls, it's binding. What if you say it out of anger? And how many people come to the Imam and say, I didn't mean it, I was just upset with her, and I said, hey, you divorced, get lost. Does it count or does it not count? Ulama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimah says, the anger which is not so intense. So we talk, for a person who suffers from such extreme anger that he loses his mind completely, this person might be exempted because he's got a serious problem. But for the rest of us, when the anger is not so intense as to affect a person's mind or his rational thinking, he's still in control. And he knows what he is saying and what he means. Then he says there's no dispute amongst the scholars. All four madhahib agree that the divorce in this case counts. That if you divorce your wife like this, she is divorced. You can ruin your marriage over an argument over what? Over something small. None of us are safe from that, Jamaat Muslimin. I'm not safe, you're not safe. We don't know how much of that pressure at work, kids, family builds up. We just takes one spark. And that word is so easy. That word is so easy. Side note here, people always complain, why should the husband have the right to give the talaq and the wife not? It's a mercy. It's a mercy. We know our sisters, and we don't like to generalize, but this is the reality. Allah makes generalizations, that our sisters are built more emotionally. And sometimes their anger might get the better of them, their frustration. And subhanAllah, if talaq was in the hands of our wives, all of us would be talaq daily. We know that. I don't want you, I don't want... We all know this. So Allah has pardoned them, that even if they say that, He doesn't take into account. But a man, you cannot let your anger get to a certain point where you say, Ya Allah, I said things out of turn. No. Your anger, you must master your anger. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah speaks about the husband and the wife relationship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And of His signs that He exists, Allah of my signs, is I created for you from yourselves spouses, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Number one, that you find tranquility. You diffuse each other's anger and stress. Sakina is tranquility. So when the world outside has made you out of balance, your wife, your husband brings you back in a state of sakina. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah says, I am the one that has placed in your marriage mawadda. What is mawadda? Deep, passionate love. That thing that you feel on your wedding day, that's mawadda. And then He says, and rahma. Because for marriage to succeed, you don't only need love, you need rahma as well, mercy as well. Why? Because a day will come when the love isn't there, when you are not happy with one another, when you see the ugliness of each other. And at that point, the respect must still be there. Even if there's no love, there must still be respect. So Allah is saying, even at the worst of the worst, even if you are in the worst situation, you can't harm this person with your words, let alone with your hands. Still, there must be a degree of respect and care. So how does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he advises us how to deal with anger. This issue of anger was so serious, is so serious, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually gave advices how to diffuse it. And if you suffer from anger, or you go through a moment where you're frustrated with your spouse, with, you know, a customer, with your boss, my boss is sitting here, right? You're frustrated, right? What do you do? What do you do? Nabi Sallam gives advices. He says, if any of you become angry, let him keep silent. Rather not speak in anger. Never has someone said, Alhamdulillah, I spoke well when I was angry. No. Usually, being rash, being upset, results in saying something that you regret. This is the norm. We all know this. So when you are angry and you realize, and it's difficult to think clearly at that time, rather keep quiet. So that mother-in-law is on your head. Rather keep quiet. Right? Best to keep quiet. That's the best. Nabi Sallam, keep quiet. If what else? Nabi Sulaiman ibn Sard said, I was sitting with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and two men were arguing and swaying at one another, slandering one another. One of them was so red in the face, and his veins in his neck were standing out, so the blood was flowing. And the Prophet said, I know a word which if he were to say it, would what he feels would go away, that this extreme anger would disappear. If he said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and this anger would go away. Now, brother might say, Subhanallah, I've said this, A'udhu billahi shaitanir rajim, and nothing goes away. But saying it with conviction, saying it within the mindset that this is from shaitan. Yeah, oh Allah, you're making a dua. We say A'udhu billah for just like, you know, nothing. We say, oh Allah, A'udhu billah, I seek refuge with you. Oh Allah, protect me from shaitan. If you say that with meaning, at that moment in time, when you think of Allah, you think, how can I be angry? If Allah must be angry with me, what's going to happen to me? At that moment, if you say it with conviction, then inshallah, it will diminish your anger, or it will go away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if any of you becomes angry and he is standing, let him sit down. And so his anger, inshallah, will go away. And if he does not go away, let him lie down. So you're in the office, you're about to be angry with someone, lie down. Sit down or lie down. And we know this from a psychological perspective. When you become angry, the blood is flowing, the blood is rushing, the blood is pumping. You want to calm yourself. And how do you calm yourself? By sitting down, by becoming at peace. And when that blood starts to, when the circulation, when the heart starts to calm down, beats less fast, your mind starts to take control again, your emotions go away, and you can think clearly. That's why people will say, you know, count till 10, you know, count to 100, whatever it might be, and you would find yourself becoming calm. So if you suffer from that, try these things, inshallah. It comes from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not from any psychologist, not from any doctor, but from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, anger comes from shaitan. And the shaitan was created from fire. And fire is extinguished only with water. So when one of you becomes angry, take wudu. And we know once again, if you are, you know, your blood is pumping and you're feeling hot under the collar, the minute you add some water, you take wudu and you take that time away and you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, alhamdulillah. So next time we have an argument with our wives, just say, just maaf, let me just take wudu, then I'll respond. And see if the response will be better. The response will be better. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's a reward for controlling your anger. And it's an honor to control your anger. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the strong man is the one who, when he gets angry and his face reddens and his hair rises, he's able to defeat his anger. He doesn't act on that anger. This is true strength, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying. Another hadith, he says, the strong man is not the one who can overpower others, physically arm wrestle them or physically overpower them. But true strength is the man who controls himself when he gets angry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, shall I not tell you who is even stronger than him? Right? There was so and so. They were competing with wrestlers and said, this guy, he's the strongest guy, the Sahaba. And Nabi said, there's a man stronger than him. He said, who is that? The man who, when he is mistreated by another, so he's angry for a justified reason. Sometimes we say, I'm right to be angry. This person did X, Y, Z. And we say, yes, he's wrong. And this person swore me for no reason. And this person cheated me for no reason. We say, yes. You have a right to be angry. So when he's mistreated, he's still able to control his anger. He has, the Nabi says, you know, when you do that, you have defeated your shaitan and the shaitan of that person. Because that person's shaitan wants to provoke you. Yet you're overpowered to shayateen. When you're able to do that in a moment of anger. Even when you are right. In the hadith which is not mentioned here, Nabi says, I guarantee you a place in the middle of Jannah. Whoever avoids confrontation and arguing, even when he is right. Of course, the balance here, if we're arguing for the sake of Allah, or for the rights, your rights or the rights of someone else, then we don't keep quiet. We don't say, I'm the police officer, so for the sake of Allah, I'm not going to, you know, stop this guy from stealing. No. But for a personal reason that you can forego, I do it for you, Allah. I don't do it for this guy or for this person. I do it for you, Ya Allah. Avoid that anger. Nabi says, I guarantee your place in the center of Jannah for that. So to summarize, Afwan, how to avoid anger, remove yourself from the situation. If there's something bothering you, stressing you out, take a moment away. Just get away for a few minutes. Keep silent, don't speak in anger. Try to sit down or lay down, take wudu, and remember Allah. And this is one of the most greatest things when you think, Ya Allah, I'm angry at this guy, and I have the right to punish him, and I'm going to punish him. And you think, Subhanallah, if Allah must have that attitude with me, what's going to happen to me? How many things do we do in front of Allah, knowing it's wrong, and Allah doesn't do anything, and He can do whatever He wants, no, without retribution. Won't harm Allah in the least, yet we disobey Him night and day, and we expect Allah to forgive us without us even asking. So every time you want to enforce your anger, your haqq, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also do that with you. And there's a reward for the one who goes through this life and he masters his anger. Nabi says, whoever controls his anger at the time when he has the means to act upon it. So this is not only being angry, but you're angry and you may be the boss. You're angry and you're the husband and the wife. You're alone in the room. No one is there to see what you're going to do. You can now act. You're angry and you can enforce your anger. And he abstains. What stopped him from that? Allah will fill his heart with contentment on the day of resurrection. And Allah will make sure your heart is okay on Qiyamah. Look at this. This is for the brothers and inshallah the sisters as well. Maybe that first one you say heart contentment, not so much, but this one you're going to want. Whoever controls his anger at the day, at the time when he has been, and he has the means to act upon it, Allah will call him before all of mankind on the day of resurrection, and he will say, let him choose of whichever khurul ayn he wants. Right, so maybe this is a better cell. They'll line up and you say, which one? He said, that one, come here. Right, so think of that, inshallah. Control the anger, and this is a great reward. And this reward would not come if it wasn't a great deed. This is in the hadith, is in Abu Dawood. This reward would not come if it was not a great deed. But as we talk about our personal anger and mastering our anger, and as we said that anger in itself is not a bad thing. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes Himself as having anger. غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Ghadab is anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when we make dua in Surah Fatiha, Ya Allah, do not let us be of those who incur your anger, who are liable for your anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as having anger, but His anger, like His pride, is majestic, it is divine, it is perfect. It's an anger befitting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the qualities of Allah is perfect without any negative to it. But yet Allah has an anger, and wa'iyadhu billah, we should fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah describes a people that they have His anger, what can we say? If you know that the boss is angry with you, how do you feel? Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with you, it's a big problem. So who are the people does the Quran describe as having the anger of Allah? To disbelieve. Allah says, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ. Whoever disbelieves in Allah, after he's a believer, whoever becomes a disbeliever, except for one who is forced while his heart is secure in faith. But those who willingly open their hearts to disbelief, upon them, فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Upon them is the anger of Allah. And for them is a severe punishment. We know that kufr and shirk is the worst and the worst of sins. And if we look in the context of Surah Fatiha, where Allah says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, there's two categories here. In fact, there's three categories in Surah Fatiha. We ask Allah, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَعْمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Ya Allah, guide us to the path of those who receive your na'im, those who you are pleased with. And not like the maghdubi alayhim, those who you are angry with, وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. So three categories. Those who you are pleased with, those who you are angry with, and those who have gone astray. Who are these three categories? The people that Allah is pleased with are those who receive guidance. Allah guides them and gives them knowledge, and they act on that. The ones who Allah is angry with, and Nabi Sallam gives tafsir, he says the Yahud. Why? And anyone who resembles this character, that they received guidance, they know the truth, but they deliberately disobey Allah. That they have been given blessing upon blessing, and yet they still disobey Allah. Then you are liable for the anger of Allah. And then the dalin, those who have gone astray, Nabi makes tafsiriya, the Nasara, and those who emulate them in acting sincerely without knowledge. They want to love Allah and worship Allah. They want to obey Allah, but they do so based on their own desires, without any text or evidence. So they've gone astray. So we are between this. And therefore, having guidance and blessing and turning away, This is one of the reasons where Allah gives anger. Allah being angry with you is worse than having misguidance. What else incurs? Where does Allah use the word, I am angry with this person in the Quran? Allah says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعْنَهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. SubhanAllah, look at this. Allah says, whoever kills a believer intentionally, then his position is in Jahannam. His jaza, his reward is Jahannam. Forever will he be there. For eternally in Jahannam. And on top of that, Allah says, I place my ghadab, my anger on him, and my la'na, I curse him as well. And he is prepared for a great punishment. This is the worst sin you can do after shirk, is to kill somebody. SubhanAllah, how many people are being killed? How many Muslims kill Muslims? But the next time someone tells you, or you see, in the name of Allah, you're going to cause some killing or some... Think about this. Whoever kills somebody, whoever kills somebody, his position with Allah, the anger, the la'na, the punishment, and Jahannam forever. Wa'yadu billah, not a slight thing to take a life of somebody. One of the other things about that where Allah mentions in the Quran, we're just mentioning the places in the Quran where Allah mentions His ghadab in relation to jihad. وَمَن يُوَلِّيهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دُبُرَهُ. Whoever turns his back to them on such a day of jihad, you're in the battle, in the middle of the warfare, and you turn your back, you retreat. Unless as part of a strategy or of joining another party, unless it's part of a strategic maneuver, in other words, whoever retreats out of cowardice, has certainly, فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Then he has earned and justifiably earned the wrath and the anger of Allah. وَمَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ. And his place is Jahannam. وَبِئْسَ الْمَسِيرِ. And what a bad place that is. So one of the other places in which anger of Allah is the one who flees on the battlefield. As for the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, beautiful hadith, it says, Nabi Aisha tells us that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he never got angry for any personal matters. Never in his personal capacity did he take retribution on somebody. When someone harmed him personally, and he was insulted personally, his character, his family, physically insulted, Nabi Sallallahu never took retribution. But when it was something small for the haqq of Allah, Nabi Sallallahu would take action. When did Nabi Sallallahu get upset? Interesting, some places where Nabi Sallallahu, and when how would he respond in anger? And this shows you that anger is not bad all the time, you should be angry. When Nabi Sallallahu got angry, what did he say? Did he scream? Did he shout? Did he swear? The Sahaba would say, we would see a vein on his head would throb, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would use his silence. If there was somebody that did something wrong, and this person made him angry, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would look away from him, and this would be your reprimand. But of the things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got upset about, was for example, when he heard Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anh, he was leading salah too long, he was an imam, and the people became frustrated, and they became annoyed, and some started not coming to the masjid. So he became upset with Mu'adh, are you annoying the people with your salah? When he heard that other companions, Usama, who he loved so much, came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, the lady who stole, she's a prominent lady, don't cut off her hand. So he said, you want to make favoritism between the rich and the poor? This upset him, this made him angry. When he heard Muslims arguing and questioning about the deen, and questioning him about unnecessary things. When Nabi Sallallahu said, Allah has decreed for you to make Hajj, a man said unnecessarily, every year must we go for Hajj? So Nabi Sallallahu said, if I say yes, then you're going to have to go every year. Don't ask unnecessary questions when you know what I mean. He became angry with that. So these kind of things made the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam angry. And of course, oppression and evil. And we just discussed this in Surah, in the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Uhud, Nabi Sallallahu was struck on his face. This was a personal thing. Someone hit him with a sword, and he had armor, and the armor went into his face. And then Nabi Sallallahu said something out of anger. And he said, how can Allah forgive a people who strike the face of their Nabi when he calls them to Jannah? And Allah revealed ayat, says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you don't have any right in saying who Allah will forgive and having punishment. It's only for Allah. They are dhalimeen, Allah says in the ayah, they are dhalimeen, what they're doing is haram, I'll deal with them. But لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. You have no haqq in this regard. The mercy of Allah and the punishment of Allah is in Allah's prerogative. And then Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for forgiveness for his people. So when it comes to the anger, we only Allah has the right, and we only get angry for the sake of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Anas tells us, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not a person who insulted people. Nor did he ever in his life use obscene language, and he never cursed people. If he wanted to rebuke, and he had to check people, his job is to see someone doing something wrong, he would check him. And if the man still persisted, he would say, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with this person? May his forehead be rubbed in dust. Like a small thing like, you know, may you come right. May Allah guide you. That's the level that he had to do. And he was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us, one of the qualities of the believer, and it would not be easy, it would not be included in the Quran as a quality of the Muhsin. Muhsin is a good person, a believer, the ones who Allah is pleased with. It would not be a quality of them if they did not control their anger was an easy thing. So just as Allah lists the awliya are the ones who fast and they pray and they give zakah and they give charity, Allah also says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِكُونَ فِي السِّرِّ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, that they spend, Allah speaking of the good people, the ones He is pleased with, they spend in prosperity and in adversity. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, and they repress their anger. When they are angry, they control it. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and they pardon others. that when they are wronged or transgression is done against them, they choose on the side of pardoning. And we know, in fact, all four of the imams of the four madhahib, all of them had run-ins with the law. Right? Not because they did something wrong, but because the government asked them to do something, and many of them were beaten, imprisoned, and they were lashed. And afterwards, obviously, they were brought out, and people said, like, Imam Ahmad was lashed so much that he could never use, sometimes his body was never healed fully. Why? Because he said the Quran is the words of Allah. So they asked, don't you want to take retribution on the people that punished you? So he said, no. What benefit is it for me if I see them being punished on Qiyamah? I'm not going to get any joy out of that. But rather, if I say, Ya Allah, I let go my right over them of punishment, Allah will let go a right that He has over me of punishment. Right, so think of it like that. Don't only let go of your anger and at that moment make a dua and say, Ya Allah, I can exercise my anger here. I can assert myself here. And no one will stop me. But I do this out of taqwa. So that one day when I stand before you, when you can exercise your anger on me, I hope that you withhold it. Something small like that, inshallah, to block Allah's anger, subhanAllah. What more do we want? And Allah says about the muhsineen and those who are, you know, inshallah, will get Jannah. When they are angry, they forgive. وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ They, subhanAllah, the Arabic is not in line here. That Allah says, of those, what do? They avoid the major sins and fawahish. And when they become angry, وَإِذَا مَا غَضَبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ No, it's correct, the read is correct. That when they become angry, they become forgiving. They forgive. They choose forgiveness. And it's known that Nabi says, whoever forgives or make easier a burden of a person in the dunya, you need to be paid for that, and Allah will pay you for that on Qiyamah. He will take away a burden and remove something which you are liable for. So for that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi made this dua. He says, O Allah, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over all of creation, keep me alive for as long as you know life is good for me. And cause me to die when you know death is good for me. O Allah, I seek you to make me fear you in secret and in public. And I ask you to make me speak the truth in times of contentment and in times of anger. To be truthful and to be honest and to say the right things even when I'm angry. I ask you not to let me be extravagant in poverty and in prosperity. And I ask you for continuous blessing and for contentment that does not end. I ask you to let me accept your decree. And for a good life after death, I ask you for the joy of seeing your face, Ya Allah, and for the longing to meet you without going through distress in the dunya, without going through fitna and disease in the dunya. O Allah, adorn us with the adornment of iman and make us among those who you are guided, those who are guided, and all alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes a specific dua in anger. Let me speak truthful and speak the right thing, even in anger. May Allah accept. May Allah bless us with this dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا O Allah, don't deviate our hearts بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا after you have guided it. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً and bestow upon us your mercy. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ that you are the one that bestows. Jazakallah khair. Just a few announcements. Inshallah, our class on Seerah continues this Tuesday evening after Maghrib. You can email me and the slides and the audio of this lecture is available from the office. Bring a USB, please. And then, of course, Wednesday evening after Isha is our Mi'raj program. And we'll discuss, inshallah, Palestine and Masjid al-Aqsa as our topic, inshallah. Jazakallah khair wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.